We're so glad you've made the choice to join us today as we dig into the Word of God. This is Debbie Keever, and I'm here with my friend Laura Pereno. So sit back, and we encourage you to join us in the conversation. Welcome back to week three in our April series called Seasons. And Laura, we shared over the first 2 weeks, this is speaking to our hearts where you and I are. And for those who listen to the second podcast and you heard me falling apart, just the emotion that just was arising. This is raw. This is fresh. God is truly taking these teachings that we're sharing supposedly casually on this podcast. And man, it has become a tender place where the Holy Spirit is teaching to my own heart in the midst of a major transition for our family. So I think I can make it through today, Laura, without crying, because I'm in a new place.
That's right.
And I'm in a new place, not because our situation has changed, but because I'm actually living what we're teaching. Like, I'm taking time to be present in the moment and hear from the Father. And in there, he's teaching me, he's comforting me. And I think I can make it through today without crying.
I am so glad to hear that.
she's falling apart. So now you're probably like, man, if you didn't get to hear the first two podcasts, go back and listen, because really this is truly some stuff we're walking through. And last week was a lot harder for me than today. In this series on seasons, the first week we focused on, man, stop focusing on, I wish the season wouldn't end, or I'm anxious about the season that's coming. Be present in the moment, because that's where the Father is speaking to you. And then last week, man, Valerie George, my good buddy from Ocean City, just spoke so powerfully about seasons with the shepherd, taking us through Psalm 23, really a year's journey between a shepherd and a sheep, different seasons of that year, and how the shepherd knows how to connect with the sheep because he knows the sheep, right? He created the sheep, really. And he knows how to meet our needs right in the midst of this. So we are moving into week three, and I'm so excited to dig into the Word with you today and share it with our listeners.
I am excited too. And, you know, we say this word seasons. It's funny because every time I hear somebody say, it's just a season, you know, or I hear myself saying it to somebody else or to me, like, it's just a season. Sometimes I think to myself, I do not want to hear about seasons anymore. Like,
can I just smack
you? Done with this, right? All of these seasons changing all of the time. Sometimes it can get frustrating, or I'm just ready to be done with it. But I love that we're digging into what a godly perspective or a biblical perspective on seasons, changing seasons is, because instead of being like, it's just a season, it can actually be like, hey, it's just a season, right? It's perspective. It's how you're going to look at it. And that's, I think, right, when we're talking about seasons so many times, Debbie, I know you and I talk about this a lot, just privately, like feeling like you're in the middle of a season.
I
think sometimes when you're in the middle of a season, we all can kind of go, I know what that feels like. Like,
all
I
minute,
get that.
Yeah.
Been there. And that's fine. But I think that we sometimes really focus on the tools to get through the middle of a season, right? Because people will go, oh, you are really in the middle of it, right? So I've got a tool for you, or I've got a book for you, I'm going to pray for you. But I think it's interesting because
I got a podcast for you.
That's right. A whole series. I think it's interesting because it's easy to identify and kind of figure out the pain, but how to get through the middle of the season. But what I want to talk about today, or what we're going to talk about today, is really navigating when a season ends, right? And I think that's, for me, the middle ain't easy, but the end of a season is what for me is really, really hard. And I want to be someone who learns how to navigate the end of a season when I don't know what's next.
I get this picture. We used to boat, we used to boat on the river, and you are either on the dock in the middle of the dock, or you are on the boat in the middle of the boat. But the tricky time is when one foot's on the dock and one foot's on the boat. And it's the time where you feel like you have to pay more attention to what you're doing, and you have to navigate that transition well, or you fall in. And so I picture, here we're talking about that in the middle. I feel like my legs are splitting between one season to the next. And that is a stretching time. And that is a place where I almost feel like you have to make some decisions faster. Mm-hmm. How am I going to handle this? There's a piece of the you that wants to go back, and there's a piece that says I kind of need to go forward. Yep. So you're right. That's an uncomfortable position. But that's just the picture I was just getting.
Yeah. That's
good. I mean, we see it in nature, right? Right. In nature, we're used to what spring and fall and winter mm-hmm. and summer look like. I mean, you just have to pull up an image on Google and you know what the fall mm-hmm. foliage will look like. We're used to that. We're used to things that are dead, that look dead, right? That come back to life. We like to be able to predict what's going to happen. We like the empty spaces of like, well, what's happening next? We like to be able to fill them in, because when it's not filled, we just feel like we need to force something in that mm-hmm. space. And this is hard, because this is those in-between moments. We in life cannot predict what our spring will look like. Mm-hmm. We cannot predict what our summer or fall, because every year it's unique. You know, it's not like looking it up in biology. God has been very consistent there, but it's not consistent in our own lives. You know, I think of, you know, when fall rolls around, we see that like, the leaves are still on the trees, but now they're going to fall. I know what winter's going to look like. Nothing is alive. Mm-hmm. And then there's little buds like where we are now. They're starting. Everything's popping out, you know, here in Delaware. I'm sure it is for you as well in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And then it gets so rich. What do we do in life when we don't know what the next scene's going to look like? Mm-hmm. Not just how do I survive this moment, but I think the key is, if he's calling us to live an abundant life, that is also in the times of transition. Mm-hmm. It's not just your only abundant life is on the happy days. Mm-hmm. It's thriving and it's abundance in all of those seasons of life.
Yeah. Amen. I mean, we want to thrive in each one of those seasons that we're in. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, because I'm 55 and I know that you are right there close with me. Actually, we're both 55 right now as we're recording this.
No,
right?
Actually,
you're 56.
I'm older. You're elder. Yeah, next week. Right. I'm for now.
Yeah, that's right.
April.
That's right. I know it.
I'm much older than you at that point.
Well, let's just put us all in like that same kind of mm-hmm. bucket, right? That 50 yeah. something bucket. And I hang out with a lot of people who are in that same bucket. I know you do too. And it's interesting, and it might be just because of my age, but I feel like so many of us in this age might feel like we're entering into a fall season. And I'm not saying that as in anything about years and like we're getting up there in years. It's more when you look at the calendar and you see spring blossom. It's almost like in our lives, whether we are getting married and starting a family, or we are in a career, or whatever it might be, it's like when you're just starting out, right? You see those buds starting to appear on the trees. And then it goes into full bloom in your summer season. Let's say if you are a mom with kids in the house, then your summer season, you are at soccer games and you are mm-hmm. at the pool club, you know, and you are cooking the dinner and reading the books and doing the homework. That is like summer. Everything is in full bloom. If I kind of put mm-hmm. like lifespan on the calendar.
Right.
But then I think about the fact that so many of us, whether we are moms or whether we are women who have careers or whatever that might look like, that season comes to an end, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we might consider ourselves empty nesters or retired or things have changed.
Tired.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Tired.
But it's the next season, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that fullness of summer anymore. It's almost like we've entered the fall, because things start to fall away, right? That mm-hmm. emptiness, the hustle and bustle becomes an empty place. And so I'm thinking about this for people in our age group, whether it's with a family or whether it's with a job. What happens when you are feeling like you're entering the fall season, because it's almost like things are falling out of place? And you want to mm-hmm. be like, everybody's moving on. And like, what about me? Like, how do I experience that place, that season? What's my purpose? I have heard that from so many people recently, Debbie, mm-hmm. In mm-hmm. our shoes right now, that are saying like, what do I do?
Yeah. I remember a couple months ago, we focused on your calling, and your circumstances don't change your calling. They just start to look a little different. Right. And because you have more space, because things are emptier, you have a little more time to be able to maybe focus in on some of what God's calling you to do in that time. I mean, I wish it was cookie cutter. Like, I'm structured, I'm a planner, I'm a goals oriented type person. And when there is no cookie cutter answer, that is unnerving for me. But I keep coming back to God, you have a plan and a purpose for this empty nest. Why don't we call it the empty season? You know, where things are looking very different for each person. For example, for me, I'm grandparent to many kids at this point. And I spend half my week watching these little cuties at my house, and it's because they live within 5 minutes of my house, right? So my house, my husband, I remember that our boys moved out and got married, and we redid the house. Like, we made it look like adults live there. And when we started having grandkids a couple years ago, there is a budget line called Nana in our money. And he says, why does our house have to look like we have children? Because it's the season I'm in. Some parents, grandparents, you know, you have grandchildren, but they're far away. So your season with your grandchildren, your house can probably still look like an adult lives there. But it's just different depending on, you know, your circumstance. It's unique to you. So this episode today isn't about what do we do in that middle? What do we do when there's an empty season? It's how do I thrive when my season is changing? When what was there is no longer there, how do I thrive?
Yeah, and I think it's important to note again, kind of what we shared a little bit earlier was it's not just for moms and kids leaving in an empty nest situation. My heart also goes out to women our age or men our age who have been caretakers for aging parents because we know that this age is such a complex season, right? There's so many things going on both ends. And, you know, when eventually that parent passes away, like you're kind of left. How do you thrive in that painful place too? Or the professional woman who had a job and then there were layoffs. So there's so many different ways we can be in this season. But if we want to thrive in this season, I have a story for you, Deb. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You know I love my stories. Okay, when I was 40 something, definitely a different season. Emily was 16, and we ex had an exchange student come and live with us for 6 months in our home. And I love that girl. And she loved a lot of the things that I love to do. She loved to go shopping, like, and her favorite place, she's from Italy, and they don't have Marshall's, Home Goods, and TJ Maxx in Italy yet, right? And so she found out about Marshall's because I took her, and she fell in love with Marshall's. So whenever we couldn't find something to do, I'd say, would you like to go to Marshall's with me? And she would say, oh, yes, Miss Laura. So she got in. One time we were at Marshall's, and I had a wedding to go to, and I was looking for a dress. And now 40, right? I'm
That's a
thinking
weird age for
it
clothes.
is. It is. So I'm thinking that I'm going to be looking for something that I thought I looked okay in my 30s. And so I remember looking for something that I thought was on the younger side. I thought I could still rock it. And so I put it on, and I remember coming out and showing her, and she was like, oh, Miss Laura. You know, just that look. Like, I just don't think that is the right thing for you. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went back in. I was like, I guess it's just a little too young. And so then I automatically in my mind, I'm like, well, if it's too young, clearly I have crossed a line and I need to go for something older. So I remember finding something older and then going to show her what I was wearing. And she was like, oh, Miss Laura, like, it's almost like Goldilocks. That is just that's too old for you, Miss Laura. And then I was like, well, that's good. That makes me feel a little better because I'm only in my 40s. And I remember when I came out in just the right thing, you know, it being the right deal. But I remember her saying, you know, Miss Laura, when you think about how you're supposed to dress these days, you're not 30 anymore,
These
but you're not
days.
50. Yeah. And she's a very direct young lady in a very kind way. And she said, Miss Laura, you must buy clothes that are age appropriately classy. And Deb, let me just stop for a second because that is our subtitle, if I was going to give it a subtitle today. How do we come out of a season or go into another season in a way that is age appropriately classy, like in an appropriately classy way? How do we transition into our seasons?
Man, what a great analogy for how we're supposed to live, right? If our clothing is on the outside, our heart and our thought life on the inside, how do we let the outside be consistent with living appropriately classy on the inside, in our speech, in our thoughts, in what we're activities we're involved in? How do we keep from going off the deep end, right? Mm-hmm. When are in the empty season? I think a key, and we're living this, right? We're having to do this ourselves. We're in that empty season. Mm-hmm. Stay connected to the word. You and I love to talk about that. It's about what the word models for us, because we see people in the word who had to transition from one season of life to the next. And how do I, maybe that age appropriate classy lifestyle is a godly lifestyle when mm-hmm. I'm switching from one season to the next. And mm-hmm. man, the one who rocked it the best was Jesus. He is the model in terms of how did he live? Like, what would Jesus do, right? How did he live and thrive and live classy, godly in one season ending and jumping into the next?
Yeah, that's exactly it. When we want to look at Jesus' life, and I love that when we're thinking about how we're supposed to live a different season, you know, Jesus came here so that we could see him live out all the seasons, mm-hmm. right? And so how did he transition between seasons, and what can we take away for ourselves mm-hmm. From the truths that we realize? And it's interesting because if I think about Jesus changing from one season to the next, there's two things that pop out into my mind that we see clear transitions for Jesus during what we see in the Gospels. And the first one is when he went from not being in the 3 years of earthly ministry to being in his 3 years of earthly ministry. So we might say that is the time before his baptism and, you know, the dove descending and saying, this is mm-hmm. the Lamb of God. His purpose was spoken, what he was there for. And so I kind of feel like with Jesus' ministry, if we're going to look at the calendar, that's like the spring. That's like mm-hmm. where Jesus is just, man, the buds are blooming. He is coming out of the water and it is time to go, right? Mm-hmm. And then we go on and we see so many things in Jesus' life. And maybe we could call that the summer, where there's just the miracles and the healings and all of these things, the disciples and friends and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I would say that's the summer. But then when I think about the transition I want to focus on today, I think it's so interesting because you can think about the final season change for Jesus is when he is no longer going to be physically here on the earth, and he is moving on into, let's say, another season, right? He's going back to the Father, right? To be seated at the right hand mm-hmm. of the Father. And so I think that's really interesting because today we are going to quickly look at the end of Jesus' time here on earth. You know, when he knew he was going to be leaving his disciples and his friends and his earthly family, right? It wasn't going to look the same anymore. How did Jesus thrive in that season change when mm-hmm. what was isn't anymore?
You know, when we talk about Jesus understands what we feel, he came to live and experience everything we would feel. And so he understands the one foot on the dock, the one foot on the boat, and everybody's watching to see how he navigates that. If you think about it, on earth, he was always surrounded by a crowd, right? There was mm-hmm. Jesus. He either went alone with the Father, but he always had people around him. Mm-hmm. And I think of the house here, you know, our house used to be the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Probably because we fed them. We actually had to put doors up on my husband's office to protect him, the man cave, you know, to protect him. Because it was just always crowded. And then I remember this reality check when the kids were getting together at each other's house and no longer our house. Mm. It was like, wow, that was a change. I don't know if I like this, you know, mm-hmm. type of feeling. But then Jesus, from having the crowd, he was not surrounded by his crowd. Right. He was surrounded by a crowd, but it wasn't his crowd at the crucifixion, you know, and then your resurrection is a whole different experience. And then the ascension, what was going on with the people that were around him at those times, and how did he relate to them? You know, mm-hmm. how did he keep his marbles together in the midst of those changes? At my house, I really had to go through an adjustment when the house was emptier. You know, when no one was calling saying, can I bring 25 teenagers over?
Yeah.
And will you feed them? You know,
yeah.
I go back to how did Jesus adjust to the change in the population around him?
Yep.
And oh God, what do you want to teach me? There's always something you're teaching me. So in the place where there's a lot more space and a lot more quietness, God, what do you want to teach me so that I can thrive in that empty season?
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to see this, how Jesus lived this out as we look at the word about his final days on earth. And the first thing that I came to my heart when I was thinking about this was the fact that Jesus, when his season was changing, he was always preparing those around him for the changing season that was to come. And just as a side note, anytime that we go through a season change, I think it's important to recognize, I mean, what happens, like eyes go on me, right? I'm going through a change. I'm going through a season change. I'm struggling, right? Me. It's important to recognize that when we're becoming empty nesters, that's because kids in the house are also having a changing season, right? I think it's cool because Jesus was always preparing those around him as his season was changing because their season was going to be changing too. So maybe we start off kind of by saying like eyes off of us, right? And on to others. John 9:1-2 says that Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure all diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And so what I see in this passage, and as I think about Jesus moving into a new season, he was encouraging other people in their calling while his season was changing, which just kind of makes me think when it looks like fall and winter, it's not, it's not over. It's not dead, right? We have things to do. He gave them instruction and he gave them the tools to get to through the season and then to understand how to do it when he was no longer with them. You know, he sent them out two by two in order to know what it would be like for them when their seasons changed and he no longer was present.
And then we're going to look at John 3:22. And in here, in his final windows, right, of time with them, he went out of his way to spend time with them so that he could keep demonstrating how to show love to other people. The passage reads, after this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized. These were, he was so present in these moments. I mean, sometimes when we're transitioning from one place to the next, we're so focused on us that we're not really present. Like we're there, but not really home, you know, and where he did not sit there going, oh, woe is me. Things are changing. You know, I don't know what's happening next. And sometimes I think we do that. We psych ourselves up into feeling like a pity party should be happening for us. And really Jesus is saying, I'm watching my disciples. What do they need? They need to be time with me and they need me to be there. Amen. They need me to be fully there. I mean, when they were there, they're shopping stories. Remember that guy that was dead and brought him back to life? And remember the food that multiplied? And he's sharing things in the past, but he also talked about what was coming.
Yep.
Right. And then he was listening to their hearts because that's part of it. Not everybody embraces the change that's coming. And you need to be able to be empathetic and give them a space, a safe space to be able to share how they're processing what's taking place.
Yeah, that is very classy. If we're going to go back to our subtitle, I love that. And I love Jesus' example in that. Another thing that I see in the word is that Jesus, when he was coming to the end of a season, he brought others into the experience with him. He didn't just go say, hey, my season is changing, I'll see you later, and then go ascend without them seeing him ascend. And I think that's interesting too, because I know me, sometimes I tend to be a little more private with the places that are changing in life because I don't want to like expose my heart and let people know I'm hurting or whatnot. And here, you know, sometimes when you're going through the season, you're like, oh, I'm fine. No, the kids are gone. And
you could just cry on a podcast.
But sometimes we don't want people to know that we actually want to cry, right? We're like, no, everything's so good. We go out to dinner all the time now. It's so much fun. And inside we're like, oh, I want to go back, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's cool that Jesus brought them into the season change. And if we're going to be real with it, all of these people that he's talking to are going to have a significant story at the end of their time on earth.
Yes.
And seeing how Jesus transitioned to the Father is going to impact how they transition to the Father, right? I think it's super, super important for us to invite other people into the season that we're in, because someday our kids are going to be empty nesters, you know. That's but right. Acts 1:9-10 says, when he has spoken all these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven as he went up, like there they are, mm-hmm. seeing the season change. Mm-hmm. He shared it with them. Behold, two men stood by in white apparel. Ooh, I love this one. Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. He brought them with him into the next, right? So they could see mm-hmm. the transition played out, and they wouldn't have to wonder like, hey, did he really go? What happened? Like they let him know. He let them know what was going down.
You know, Laura, and because of the way he shepherded their hearts in that transition, those disciples had confidence. Now that they, you know, they were still like, what do we do next? And it was so new. The Holy Spirit's mm-hmm. going to come. Well, who's that? You know, it's just everything started to make more sense at Pentecost, but they had confidence that this is not an out of control thing. Jesus has told us ahead that this is going to happen because he navigated it well. Other yep. people are watching. I think of you and I have, because we're in that season, right? That 50 season, we have seen some of our peers just fall apart when all their kids are out of the house because mm-hmm. their whole identity, their whole purpose was actually just focused on their household, their kids. And now when they're gone, they're like, what do we do? You know, mm-hmm. we don't know what to do. And your kids are watching like, oh gosh, mom's falling apart. And it makes a weird dynamic. Like, didn't you want me to grow up? You know, and it gets a little bit friction in there. I also, you know, we have a saying here, my husband and I have a saying that you better keep dating your spouse all the way through the summer seasons, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be a season when the kids are not home. And if your whole marriage is centered around the busyness of your children, then you're going to be looking at each other like, who are you? Mm-hmm. I think I remember you from 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so keep dating your spouse because, again, your spouse is impacted by how you transition. You know, a lot of these husbands can't wait for the kids to be gone so they get back their wives.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so you're modeling things for your children who are watching mm-hmm. how you navigate, as well as your friends. Your friends mm-hmm. are, you know, if they admire you and they see you fall apart at that point, that shakes them up. Give mm-hmm. them something appropriately classy, godly, do it like Jesus did. So they're yeah. not afraid of what's going to happen to me.
Yeah. 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 Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, as we wrap up today, you know, what can we learn from Jesus' ascension, the end of that season for him? You know, what's an action point that we can take away? And I think I would sum it up by saying, if you're finding yourself in a season where life is changing and you feel like things or people are no longer present in your story the way that they were, what might be helpful is to do these three things, right? Prepare the people around you for what is next. I think it's interesting mm-hmm. because maybe you're actually preparing yourself as mm-hmm. you prepare them, right? It may actually turn around on you and benefit you mm-hmm. in the end. Mm-hmm. Be present mm-hmm. in that change. Don't just say you're going to stay in the bed until it's over, you know, and enjoy it. Enjoy every minute of the change. And then bring your kids or your friends or whoever is part of your like inner circle, right, into the change in your story. Like invite them in, let them see you walk it. Because it is just age appropriately classy, Deb, to recognize that they will walk what you are walking someday and that you will want them to have the tools or to be dressed right. When it comes their turn to live their changing season out as well.
Funny.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, not crazy. Isn't it just amazing the way that we can learn something so deep and practical mm-hmm. at every step in our lives by mm-hmm. opening up the word of God and asking mm-hmm. him what he would have to say to us mm-hmm. in this season that we're in. So mm-hmm. if you have, you know, if you have been listening to this and you are in the middle of a chasing season, we want you to know that we are where you are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are. We're all in it together. And we are all going to get through it as we hold on to the word of God. So thanks for listening today. Thanks for being with us. Next week is our last week in this episode series on seasons. We're going to look at how to continue to bear fruit in the season that you're in, continue to live life to the full in the season that you're in. So we hope you'll join us then. So for Deb and myself, take care and we'll talk to you then. We hope that this episode encouraged your heart, that it deepened your understanding of Scripture, and that it made you thirst for the more that God has specifically for you. If you've been blessed today by what you heard, would you please share this episode with your community of friends as we seek to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and build the community of faith here at Beyond the Building.